Happy Palm Sunday. Is this on? Are you out there? Glad that you are with us. We had, 120 or so this morning for our early service. And lots of happy kiddos, I think, with lots of Easter eggs. Are you ready to worship?
Yes.
I want to welcome our live stream audience as well. Glad that you are with us. Hear these words from the Gospel of John. The crowd heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Is he your King this morning? Let's worship him. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we trust that you are here, Holy Spirit. We invite you. We pray that the name of Jesus would be high and lifted up. We pray that you would be pleased with our hearts. May you teach us. Father, we don't worship for one another. We worship for you, to you. May you be pleased. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand if you're able as we worship.
Breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Sing it, this is amazing. Oh, Jesus, I sing for you.
to you. If you want to risk it, if you don't want to risk it, that's fine. When we sing Hosanna, let's see every hand in the air praising God. Everybody together. He's worthy. We lift our hands to you, Father. When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears. Go, hands up!
Excited to see everyone that's here today, and just what a joy it was. Did y'all have fun doing that?
Yeah.
No. you got tired? Okay. Well, that's okay. That's okay. So I want you to put on your listening ears for me. Okay. I know. You sit right there for me. Okay. You're not tired. Well, good. I'm glad that you're not tired. Okay. Well, this is a special day. We came in this morning waving the palm branches, and we were singing the song Hosanna. So I want you to say Hosanna real loud for me, okay? Say Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Let's try that again. Hosanna. Hosanna. All right, so who can tell me why we came in waving the palm branches?
Because it's Easter.
It's Easter. It's not quite Easter, but it's part of Easter. So it's called what? Palm Sunday. And that's what we're going to talk about, what Palm Sunday is. And it tells us in God's Word what Palm Sunday, as we call it, but it begins Jesus's last days here on earth. It starts on Sunday and it goes till when? Till Easter. And we have something exciting happens on Easter, don't we? But it has to start here at the beginning. So about 2,000 years ago, it tells us in the Bible about 2,000 years ago what happened on that day. And I'm going to read it to you, okay? It says, as Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, Jesus sent two disciples to the town and said to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, and with her will be her colt. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them. So the disciples went, and they did just as Jesus told them to do. They found the donkeys. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed a coat on that donkey. Do you know why they placed a coat on that donkey?
So Jesus
Jackson. For a saddle, that's right, so that Jesus could ride on it, that's right. But a very large crowd gathered around Jesus. Would you be gathered around Jesus if you were there?
Yes.
Yeah. They spread their coats on the ground, and they spread palm branches, and they made Jesus a road that he rode into Jerusalem on. And as they led and as they followed, they shouted and said, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." So we came today waving all those palm branches to remember what Jesus did for us. He began the week exciting and fun and just joyful. But did it end that way? No. It did. It was good at the end, but something else happened to Jesus, didn't it?
He died.
That's right. And so next week, but when he died, did he stay in the tomb? No, he did not stay in the tomb. That's right. But Jesus knew going into Jerusalem that he knew what he was facing. But he loves us that much that he was willing to do that for each one of you. Isn't that amazing that Jesus was willing to do that for us? Yes, that's right. So we were excited this morning. So what I want us to do, I want you to say Hosanna 3 times really loud for me right now. Okay, y'all ready? Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh, that's wonderful because we want to celebrate Jesus. Do we just celebrate Jesus today? Do we celebrate Jesus tomorrow?
No,
we don't? Yes, I think we do. Do we celebrate Jesus in July? Yes, we do. We celebrate Jesus all the time because it says in Psalms 118:24, just a minute, it says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad." So are we going to rejoice today? Okay, say Hosanna one more time.
Hosanna!
All right, well, let me say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the rejoicing that we can do because you have given us this day. You have made it this day for us, and you sent your son Jesus, and you knew what was going to happen at the end of the week. And we thank you for your plan for us, and we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go this way.
Great group of kids. Well, good morning. Welcome to Wiley Methodist Church. For those of you worshiping online, God bless you. We are honored that you would join us this morning. If you want to register your attendance through our app, you can do so at this time. The Egg Hunt 2021 is in the books, and we have a new world record this year, by the way. A minute and 10 seconds. It was awesome. I told that early crowd, if you get a text message, don't respond to that, or you might miss the event. But yeah, it was quite something to watch. Like I said, honored that you're here. Our regular Wednesday night ministries continue this Wednesday night, and we have 2 more Wednesday nights before we take a break. And next Sunday morning, we'll have 2 services again at 8:30 and 10:30. With a breakfast starting at 9:30. So join us for Easter Sunday worship. Let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The 3rd day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. I want to remind you that word Catholic, small c in the creed, means universal. Man, what a joyous time it is to be able to celebrate the Lord. And you know, I was thinking back about last year, Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, we were online only back then. There were 8 or 10 of us in here, and we recorded a Palm Sunday service, and we spliced in the children coming in waving palm branches from 2019 service. And church, it's just good to be back together. And we can praise the Lord for that. We can thank the Lord for that. So that's the direction I want to go this morning for our prayer time. Just with a grateful heart, a heart of gratitude, let's come before Him and just thank Him because He is good. So bow your heads with me. I just want to encourage you to connect with Him, whatever that might look like for you. Let's don't miss this morning, church. I mean, it's so simple just to come and go and miss connecting with the Lord. He wants to meet with us individually. So whatever you need to do to position yourself to encounter Him, I just encourage you just to spend a minute or so doing that. Father, we praise you, God, for your amazing grace. Lord, as we consider what Jesus has done for us, how he came into Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, and he knew what the end of the week was going to look like for him. But he was incredibly humble, incredibly obedient. He was so focused on the cross that nothing was going to stand in the way of that happening. And he did that for us. He did that for me. He did that for this church body. And he did that for people who name Jesus as Lord and for people who do not name him as Lord. So God, we're incredibly grateful for that. Help us not to miss that this Easter season. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity to be together back in this house. And Lord, we don't want to take anything for granted, Father. We want to continue to pray you protect us from illness in this house. And Father, at the same time, we're grateful for what's happened. We're grateful for the way you moved. We're grateful for the scientific community, God, that can come up with vaccinations that seem to be helping. And Lord, that's only because you've given wisdom in that area. It's unprecedented. And so, Father, we're grateful. Continue to protect us in this house. Continue to give us a desire to be together, to fulfill your desire. God, I just thank you for chances, opportunities to worship you. Father, nothing satisfies like you. Nothing tastes as good as you taste. Help us not to miss that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you use this church for your glory. Give us wisdom as we move forward. Give us a sense of urgency for those who don't know you, for those who are struggling, for those who are hurting. Empower us, God. Give us more boldness. Jesus, you want people to encounter you, and I believe you want them to encounter you through your church. Father, use us in any way you choose to use us. And empower us to carry that out. Oh, Father, we love you so. Thank you again for this time. Thank you for the Savior who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. As we continue to worship, if you have an offering you would like to bring to the altar, you can do it at this time. You can also give online and give through our app. Church, again, thank you so much for your faithfulness.
You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again. You are so good to me. You heal my
seated.
Good morning again. You know, I love seeing all those kids. And just so you know, there was, I didn't get an official count, but 20, 25 more kids were here for the early service. So lots of kids. I love that. So bring them back. We like them here. Yeah. Yes. So I want to welcome you to our Palm Sunday service. If you are our guest this morning, we're especially glad that you're here. I hope if some of you came and brought your kiddos, I hope they got lots of eggs. I hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place. If you are online, we'd love for you to also know that you are welcome to come. And as I look around the room, I'm not going to name any names because I'd miss some of you, but I'm seeing some faces trickle back in that have not been here for a while, and that's so awesome, so awesome to have you back. So before I start the sermon today, I got a email from a preacher friend of mine that relayed a story that I want to share with you, and so I'm just going to read it to you. There was a preacher, and he was preaching on the evils of over-drinking, too much drinking. And so as the preacher, he got wound up, and he said, if I had all the wine in the world, I'd take it and I'd pour it in the river. And he said, if I had all the beer in the world, I'd take it and I'd pour it in the river. And then to wrap up, he said, if I had all the whiskey in the world, I'd throw that in the river too. And then he kind of out of breath, he sat down, thinking, man, what a great job he had done convicting the people. And then the song leader stood up and he said, if you'll turn to 650 as we close, and we'll sing Shall We Gather at the River. Why do jokes that I didn't write get all the laughs? I don't understand that. All right, here's what we're going to do this morning on with our scripture. Normally I read a scripture from one reference. Today we're going to kind of walk through a little bit of the Old Testament and kind of tell a little bit of a story here, starting with Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. All these, my outline is always in with our Wiley Methodist app. If you ever want to have those to follow along or want to print those out, you can do that through the Wiley Methodist app. Genesis 22, beginning of verse 7. Now, as I tell this story, I'll set it up. You know, Abraham has received the covenant from God, God has made covenant and said, you will be my people, and I will be your God, and I'm going to bless you through your son, Isaac. And so we know that Isaac was the promised child and was given to Abraham and Sarah in her old age. And they know he was the promised one. And yet then God says, take Isaac up on the mountain and sacrifice him to me. So Abraham, in faith, was headed to the top of the mountain, not really knowing how this story would end. Verse 7, the fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Now this was written, and this happened some 2,000 years B.C. before Christ. And Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. You think perhaps, and we know how that story ends, there's a ram caught in the bushes, and Abraham's able to sacrifice that ram instead of Isaac. But listen to that. That prophetic word, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. Now we flip forward to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. This was approximately 1400 or so before Christ. And the Charlton Heston finds himself in Egypt. No, it was Moses. It was Moses. And he finds himself in Egypt, and God has caused him to lead the people out of Egypt, out of bondage. And these plagues have come on the people of Egypt. And the last one is the firstborn of all the Egyptians would die. And Jesus, and God told Abraham to go and take a one-year-old, perfect, with no blemish, male lamb, and sacrifice this lamb and paint the blood over the doorposts of their homes. And here's what he said in verse 13 of Exodus 12. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Again, perhaps pointing forward. Okay, then we skip forward to Isaiah 53, and I was telling the early service, if you've not read Isaiah 53, and certainly if you haven't read it in a while, go home today and read the full chapter of Isaiah. This was written some 700 years or so before Christ. And by the way, before any crucifixion there had been no crucifixion done when this was written. So listen to this. This passage, Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And we understand that this too seems to be pointing to this Messiah to come. Now, we're skipping forward to John chapter 1, verse 29. John the Baptist. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." It's almost like God had planned this. It's almost like God had pointed to this moment. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that you are a God that has a plan. You have a story. And you are mindful of us in the midst of it, of that story. I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit, that you would speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a movie, it's a little older movie, it came out I think in 2000 or so, called Vertical Limit. I don't know, how many of you have seen Vertical Limit? It's about some mountain climbers. Okay, me and two others. Well, that's a hit. Well, it's a movie about, it has Chris O'Donnell of Batman and Robin fame. He was Robin in one of the first Batmans, and it is about this family of mountain climbers. And the opening scene of the movie has dad and son and younger daughter climbing this steep, really, really steep, straight up high cliff. And it's one of those climbs that I've never done, where you have rope and I don't know what you call them, the little anchors that you tap into the crevice of the rock. And dad is leading the way, and then brother and sister are below him. And so they're going up, and ever so many feet, they hammer in one of these anchors, and they snap the rope into it to protect them. They're almost to the top, and the very top anchor gives way. And dad plummets, and he's harnessed up to this rope, and dad plummets below brother and sister. And then another harness gives way, and then they fall further. And then another harness gives way, and they fall further. And by the time they're to the last harness that's holding, and it's barely holding, you have the daughter at the top of the rope, You have the son in the middle, and you have dad at the end. And they can see that that last anchor is giving way, and it's ready on the weight of the three people on one anchor. It will not hold. Dad at the bottom of the line tells his kids he loves them. He reaches in his pocket, he pulls out his knife, and he cuts the rope. The weight of the father was pulling down the whole family, and he knew the only way to save them was to die. It's an intense movie, and that scene is very intense. I would have shown it today, but it's really kind of more intense than I really wanted to show. That is on a very much lower scale. That is the message of the cross. God knew that the only way to save us was to die himself. Today's message, because of the cross, this Palm Sunday message. And I was telling the early service that I'm always conflicted every year, because you have the joy of the children coming in and they've got the palm leaves and we're singing Hosanna, and there's the joy of celebrating that moment where Jesus rode into Jerusalem and everyone is praising him as the King of the Jews, and yet Jesus knew, and we know certainly today, that in a few days he would be hanging on a cross for us. So there's always that struggle for me on this Sunday. But in order to get to next Sunday, where we celebrate Easter, we got to go through the cross. We got to enter Jerusalem, and we got to go through the cross. So today we're going to do just that. So I want to focus a little on the cross today. Because of the cross, our sin has been exposed. Now, there are some people, and you can look at surveys. There are some people that, if you ask them the question, is mankind, or are we basically good, or are we basically evil? A lot of people will say, you know, we're basically good. Well, that doesn't. I mean, yes, we have some good in us, but what Scripture teaches us, and what my experience has taught me, is that we are broken. We come into this world. It's not like once we get to a certain age and we start making poor decisions that suddenly we're sinners. It's like, no, it's in our DNA. When we come from the womb, we are a self-centered people. And I've said this before, but how many babies do you know that come out and they're all polite? And it's like, oh, well, you want to sleep? You want to sleep a little longer this morning? Okay, that'll be fine. I'll stay in bed a little longer and won't cry. No, I'm sleepy, I'm hungry, I'm poopy, I'm what? Speaking of poopy, I want to, that's okay, you can say that, I've checked, you can say that in the pulpit. I'm going to pause here for just a second. If you are a father or a grandfather of someone that's like two or three or younger, and you know how you like to put them on your shoulders and walk around and stuff, check for a poopy diaper before you do that. I'm just trying to help y'all. I just this past week discovered that's not a good thing. Yeah. Okay. I have no idea why I've said that, but anyway, we're a broken people, aren't we? Is everybody, I guess y'all have your act together? Well, I need y'all to help me. We are a broken people. We come from the womb and we're broken. And Scripture affirms this if our own experience doesn't. Isaiah 53 says, we all like sheep have gone astray. All. It doesn't say most of you, like you really bad ones. No, we've all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Man, if that doesn't describe our culture today. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is no one righteous. If you think you're righteous outside of the blood of Christ, you're not reading the word. There's no one righteous. I'm not righteous outside of Christ. You're not righteous outside of Christ. Our sin has been exposed. It needs to be dealt with. Romans 3:23, for all, there it is again, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we understand, and by the way, I think it's in Proverbs, it says that there is a way that seems right to a man, I mean, we think we know what we're doing, but it says, no, that ends up in death. We think we know what we're doing, and we think we got our act together, but Jesus says, no. Our sin, because of the cross, our sin has been exposed. Secondly, well, once it's exposed, it's dealt with. Because of the cross, our sin has been paid in full. Now, this is the part we struggle with sometimes. I've had people, so many people over the years, have come to my office and they're struggling. A lot of times they're struggling with forgiving themselves about something that they have done, and they're having trouble getting past that. And here's what I generally say to them. I say, dude, that's in the Bible too. It's another word in the Bible. I say, dude, that's why Jesus hung on a cross. He's taken it. He's paid that debt. Let it go. Let it go. You ever, I remember a few years ago, when I became pastor here, I don't remember, I think we owed $500,000 or something on our building and so forth. A few years ago, through generosity of many in this room, we were able to retire that debt. We are debt-free. Debt-free as a church. That, I can't even tell you, anybody ever paid off a loan? It's like, that feels good. That car is mine now. And no longer does the bank share in the ownership of that. There is this debt that has been paid. We the Bible tells us that the punishment for sin is death. It must be dealt with. It's our sin has been exposed. Now, if we look at the cross, what's actually taking place at the cross? I'm a visual person, and I envision these filthy rags, this coat of filthy rags that is our sin that we are all clothed in. Christ, being God made flesh, Christ was not clothed in the filthy rags of sin. He has this, if you can picture it, Christ dressed in this white robe of righteousness. Now, what took place at the cross was this exchange. Christ took upon himself, he said, these rags, these filthy rags of sin must be dealt with. Jesus took those upon himself and draped them across his shoulders and nailed them to a cross. He paid the price that you and I owed. But then it doesn't stop there. Then he says, take upon yourself now this robe of righteousness, my robe of righteousness, and place it upon your shoulders. You are now clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Now, this was not an accident. I had to get some help on this earlier. The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's movie a few years ago. There was all this big debate when that came out. It's like, who killed the Jews? Hey, Mel Gibson's just saying the Jews killed Jesus. No, the Romans killed Jesus. No, it's like, nobody killed Jesus. Our sin killed Jesus, but he laid down his life for us. Nobody drug him to the cross, kicking and screaming. Picture that Passover lamb that's selected from this perfect Passover lamb, and they probably put a rope around his neck and drug him to the sacrificial altar. And I don't know what sound a little sheep makes, but they were probably making that sound, fighting that moment. Nobody did that with this lamb. Jesus willingly went to the cross for our sake. And why did he do it? Because he loves us, and I'm coming to that. He was pierced, Isaiah 53:5. He was pierced, there it is again, what before crucifixion was even a thought. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. You see that? Exchange, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Romans 3, God presented him, Jesus, as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. 1 Peter, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish. A lamb without blemish. You know, Jesus said some really powerful things on the cross, but one of the last things he said is, it is finished. What's he talking about? It's finished. Well, this debt for our sin has been paid. He has accomplished what he came to this earth to accomplish for you and for me. It is finished. I've paid this price that was owed. Our sin has been exposed on the cross. Our sin has been paid in full on the cross. And finally, number three, because of the cross, God has proven His great love for us. He's proven His great love for us. As these scriptures, starting 2,000 years before Christ, all of these scriptures, God Himself will provide the Lamb. Then the blood will be a sign for you. I will pass over. Death will pass over. And then He was pierced for our transgressions. And then John proclaiming, here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So this timeline is has been pointing towards Jesus. Now listen, this was not a mistake. Isaiah 53:6, the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. It was the Lord's will to crush Him. Hello, is this on? It was the Lord's will to crush Him. Why did He do that? Is God just this mean, old, vengeful God? He just wanted to punish His Son? No, it was His will to crush Him and cause Him to suffer and make His life a guilt offering. And I've told this before, but it impacts me greatly. I hope it does for you as well. Around 14, could be more, but at least 14 times in the four Gospels, Jesus is recorded as foretelling what's coming for Him as He enters Jerusalem. And here's one of those times is then found in Mark 10, and it says, here's what Jesus said. We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man, talking about Himself, will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn Him to death. They will hand Him over to the Gentiles, who will mock Him, spit on Him, flog Him, and kill Him. And 3 days later, He will rise. That's Jesus, at least 14 times that is declared by Him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels. And with that said, I always say this. If I'm Jesus and I know that's happening to me, in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is that way, guess what way I'm going? I'm going that way. But here's in Mark chapter 10, here's what it says. Jesus and His disciples were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. He's just been telling them what's coming, what He's facing. But He's going into Jerusalem. That moment He's riding through that gate on that donkey and everybody's yelling, Hosanna. He knows that soon those cries will turn to crucify Him. He knows, and this was not going to be a pleasant experience for Him. He knows that soon He will be nailed to a hunk of wood. But Jesus was leading the way. Why would He do that? Because He loves you. Because He loves you. If you don't hear anything else today, everything else, if you just set it aside and you remember, Jesus loves you and He proved it on the cross. Just remember that right there. And Scripture tells us it doesn't say Jesus died on the cross for all the ones who are good and worthy of that. I mean, that's not what Scripture teaches us. That's not what my own personal experience teaches me. No, it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us at our best. He died for us at our worst. Jesus also says, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Jesus was leading the way because He loves you. Romans 5, God demonstrates His own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Church, as we are preparing for the joy and the celebration of an empty tomb, you got to walk past Calvary to get to the empty tomb. If we don't understand that, I shared this again with the early service, and I've shared it before, but back when I was taking some of my seminary classes a few years ago, had one of my professors was also a pastor, and he was had a, done a new church startup in the last couple of years when I had him. And he was talking about going around before he started the church. He went all around the country. He had identified all these churches that seemed to be thriving, doing well, and he was trying to get some ideas, and he went to this Methodist church in California. And they had this very active, I tell people all the time, you know, rock concerts attract a lot of people. That doesn't mean there's anything holy going on. I mean, is this on? Anyway. But there's a lot of people and a lot of actions, doing a lot of stuff and everything. But he was looking around the room and he said he didn't see any crosses. They didn't do Holy Communion, which they could have done it another week or whatever. And so afterwards, his leadership team met with their leadership team, and he asked the question, "I didn't see any crosses, or is there a reason for that?" And the guy, here's what their pastor said. He said, We find that whole blood and death thing can be off-putting to some people. And, you know, even communion, it's like, you know, talking more about blood and death and all that stuff. We just find that that's kind of off-putting, so we just set that stuff aside. We don't do that. And I'm like, first of all, my head almost explodes when I even tell that story again. And I'm thinking, this is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, setting the cross aside. We can't have the empty tomb unless we walk through the cross. Unless we understand that we are a broken people in need of salvation. We need somebody to help us. And they're missing the most loving act in all of human history, the cross. It was bloody. It was intense. All of those things. But it was the most loving act in all of human history. And they're missing it because it's offensive to some people. We gotta deal with the cross. We gotta deal with our sin. And Jesus has done it on our behalf. He demonstrates his love for us. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. Let's celebrate that. I want to ask the praise team to come back up, and if you'll pray with me. Christ, thank you for the cross. I have no idea why you would even be mindful of a wretch like me. I don't understand that kind of love, but I'm thankful for it. You are indeed, as they shouted that Palm Sunday morning, you are indeed the King of Kings. May you be the King of our life. May we trust you. God, you are bigger. There is nothing that overcomes you. COVID is not bigger than the blood of the Christ on the cross. Political strife, racial strife, none of those things can conquer the blood that you shed for us. Thank you that by your wounds we are healed. May we walk in that. May we walk in newness. May we walk with joy because of what you've done for us, because of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close, I want to remind you, if at the end of the service, especially for our guests, I'll be out here in the foyer and would love to meet you, have a free gift for our guests as well. If you don't know that Jesus that I'm describing, if you don't know him that way, please don't leave this place without talking to me. Stand if you're able as we close.
In the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise,
Good news, church. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you.
Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set us the example by being baptized Himself, and He said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.